Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Happy Easter. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. We want to extend a joyful welcome to each and every one of you as we gather together in the beauty of this place to worship God and the resurrected Christ who is alive and among us. Thanks be to God. I want to remind you, of course, that visitor or not, no matter who you are and no matter where you are on life's journey, it is our deep desire to meet you where you are, and most importantly, to share God's love with you. If you are a visitor, this is your first time worshiping with us here at St. John's, you will find a visitor card on either end of your pew, or I think there might be some in the center as well. Take a moment to fill that out if you'd like, and leave it on your pew so that we can collect it and be in touch if you would like to learn more, or so that we can stay in touch with you. But please feel welcome on this joyful day. I have one announcement that I'm sharing this morning. We're going to suspend all other announcements for next week. We've got a lot going on, but this is an important one pertinent to today. You will see that our sanctuary and our space is adorned with beautiful lilies. These lilies are delivered to our homebound members by volunteers of our congregation. So a special note, if you are picking up an Easter lily to deliver, please get a card by our stampers, made by our stampers. That card can be from Joanne Sine or Marge Jewell. They will be up front to meet you after the service to deliver with your lily. A few more people are needed to deliver a lily, so if you can help, please see Sally Atkiss, and she is in the back. She's waving her hand. So if you are up for paying a visit to one of our homebound members, please see Sally, or you can speak to Reverend Dale or to myself. And that is our only announcement for this morning. We've got a lot to look forward to in the course of our worship service. But first, it's never a bad day or a bad time to take a deep breath. So I want to invite you to join me in taking a deep breath as we breathe in God's joyful spirit that fills this place and fills each one of us as we gather to worship. Take a moment to exhale and to set aside all that's busying your mind, all that's happening in the rest of the day as soon as you leave here, as we focus our hearts and our minds, and as we lift our voices to worship and sing this day. Amen.
Thank you.
invite you to join me in our responsive call to worship. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Death did not get the last word. Darkness has been overcome. The brilliant light of hope shines now and forever. Come, let us worship and celebrate the good news. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Would you join me in our confession?
Loving God, we confess that at times we do not share in the joy of the resurrection, but are caught in the worries of the world. We confess that we do not always live in the spirit of new life, but remain discontent, grumbling, and anxious. Forgive us for not rolling the stone away from our own hearts, and truly sharing in the good news. Forgive us when we find it more comfortable to worry and complain than to risk the joy and freedom of new life in Christ. Call us back to your ways, O God, to seek hope and reconciliation, restoration and peace. In the name of the risen Christ, we pray. Amen.
Christ is risen, the stone is rolled away, the tomb is empty, and we have been set free from all that binds us. We are called to a new life of forgiveness and reconciliation. You are forgiven. May we accept this forgiveness, and may we be changed by the power of the love made real in the death and resurrection of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I would like to invite children to come forward. We have a very special job for you this morning. So come on forward. We're going to have a seat. And this morning you get Pastor Addie, Pastor Dale, Abby, and Andrew. Wow. All right, have a seat with us. We need to make room for Andrew. He's a key player here. All right, nice. Have a seat. Yeah, have a seat. Well, this morning, you all are going to help us to tell the Easter story. You're going to help us read Scripture. Did you come to church today thinking you were going to help us read Scripture? I don't think so, but I'm really glad that you're here. So, we're going to read the story of the resurrection of Jesus. We're going to read the Easter story together. And there's some special spots in the story that we're going to tell you some things to do to help bring the story to life, okay? So, I want you to pay special attention with your ears to what we're asking you to do. Abby's going to help us by kind of helping to act out what we're going to ask, but you'll know what to do, okay? But listen closely. And this is our scripture reading this morning from the Gospel of John. I'm sure you all recognize the story, but it's always good to hear it with new ears and to engage it in a new way. So let's listen. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene...
It was the first day of the week. Early on a Sunday morning, very much like today.
Ooh, very early.
I bet there was a lot of yawning. Oh, can you yawn for us? Oh.
No. Yes, very, very early Sunday morning.
And dark.
Yes, still dark.
Early, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been moved from the entrance.
The stone had been moved.
The door of the tomb was gaping open, as if the tomb had been disturbed.
So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved.
She ran out of the garden.
Can I hear your running feet?
She ran up the city and into the street.
Until she came to the house where Peter and John were staying.
She stood a moment to catch her breath, and then she said,
"They have taken him out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him."
"The body's been stolen."
"It's gone."
"Where could it be?"
So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first.
They ran. They ran as fast as they could.
Oh. That was fast.
They were out of breath. Can you be out of breath like you just ran?
And John outran Peter.
John bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in.
Oh, he was cautious.
He leaned into the tomb to see where the body had been.
But all he saw were the strips of linen wrappings lying there on the cold slab.
Can you gasp with me?
The body was gone, but the wrappings were left where they had been.
Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb.
Peter burst into the tomb.
No stopping him.
Peter saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head.
Yes, the cloth that had been around Jesus' head.
The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen.
Separate from the rest of the wrappings.
It was neatly folded all by itself.
Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead.
They believed.
Did they believe because the tomb was empty?
Let's everybody say no.
Did they believe because of the angels?
No.
Did they believe because of the grave wrappings?
Yes.
Yes, the position of the grave wrappings convinced them that this was no grave robbery.
No hurried taking of the body for some unknown reason.
The grave wrappings were intact, still coiled where the body had been.
Peter believed.
John believed.
And they were amazed. I want to hear your best. Wow. They were amazed. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying.
She wept.
She shed tears of grief.
Tears of sorrow.
Tears of unbelief.
And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the foot.
One at the head,
the other at the foot.
They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?"
"Why are you crying?"
"Why are you crying?"
"Why are you crying?"
"They have taken him away, my Lord," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." Can we say, "Oh, no"?
Oh, no.
They've stolen his body.
Someone has stolen his body.
Someone has taken him away. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?"
Thinking he was the gardener, she said...
She supposed he was the gardener.
She didn't recognize him at all.
Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him."
"Tell me."
"Please tell me, and I will get him."
Jesus said to her, "Mary."
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 Yeah, let's all say it together. "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher.
Rabboni.
Rabbi.
Teacher.
Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God."
Then Mary Magdalene went to the disciples.
Did she run this time?
Did she walk?
Did she hurry?
Or did she take her time thinking over the wonder of this wonderful news?
Then Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her.
"I have seen the Lord."
"I have seen the Lord," she said.
Of all the disciples.
Of all the apostles.
Of all his followers of note and renown.
Mary Magdalene received the blessing.
To be the very first.
To say the words,
"I have seen him."
"I have seen Jesus."
"I have seen the Lord." Let's say it all together. "I have seen the Lord." Wow, what a wonderful story. And thank you all for helping us tell the story. Now, the challenge is we hear this story every single year. It doesn't change, but that's kind of the good news of it, right? And our job is to not just keep the story in this church building, right? But to go out into the world and to live this story, to live in the joyful good news of the resurrection. Do you think you can do that? I think you can. All right, I want to thank you. Let's end in prayer, but we're not going to end in the Lord's Prayer like we normally do, because I'm going to need your help doing that at another part of the service, okay? But let's say a prayer together, all right? Loving God, we thank you so much for the beauty of this day. Not only is it full of sunshine, but it's also filled with the joy of the resurrection of your son, Jesus. As we hear this story again, we give you thanks that those first believers are the ones who saw and lived the resurrection. And now, God, you give us that challenge to hear these words and to go out into the world and to be people of love and hope and joy. All of these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much. You can return to your seats. Well done. Happy Easter.
Good morning, everyone. Does the name Billy Graham mean anything to you? Billy Graham. He was one of the most celebrated Christian evangelists in modern American history. And he died in 2018 after hosting religious rallies and television appearances for nearly 60 years. And there's a story about one of the times he returned to Charlotte, North Carolina, where he lived. He had just finished a speaking engagement. His limousine had arrived to take him home. And as he got ready to get into the limo, he stopped and spoke to the driver. And he said, "You know, I'm 87 years old, and I have never driven a limousine. Would you mind if I drove?" And the driver said, "No problem, Reverend Graham." So Billy Graham gets into the driver's seat and they take off and they head down the highway. And a short distance away sat a rookie state trooper operating a speed trap. Now, the black limo that Graham was driving went by the trooper doing 75 miles an hour in a 55 mile per hour zone. So the trooper pulls out and easily catches the limo. Billy Graham pulls over. The officer gets out of his patrol car and begins the procedure of writing a speeding ticket. This young trooper walked up to the driver's door, and when the glass was rolled down, he was surprised to see who was driving. And he immediately excused himself and went back to his car and called his supervisor. He said to his supervisor, "Listen, I know we are supposed to enforce the law, but I also know that important people are given certain courtesies. I need to know what I should do because I have stopped a very important person." The supervisor asked, "Well, is it the governor?" No, the young trooper said, no, he's more important than that." The supervisor said, "Oh, so it's the president." The young trooper said, "No, he's even more important than that." The supervisor finally asked, "Well, then who is it?" The young trooper said, "I'm pretty sure it's Jesus, because he's got Billy Graham for a chauffeur." It's a funny story, but it also holds a truth about not knowing what Jesus looks like. We don't know what Jesus looked like. And if Jesus happened to walk in here today, we wouldn't recognize him either. Mary Magdalene faced the same dilemma. She did not recognize Jesus when he suddenly appeared to her just outside the tomb that Sunday, that first Sunday, that first Easter. Mary thought the man standing there was a gardener, not Jesus. And you may be puzzled as to why Mary did not recognize Jesus. And I think there are a couple of reasons. The first reason I don't think Mary recognized Jesus, and I think this is true of every one of us, is because it's very hard to recognize Christ when we are in deep grief. In my own life, my deep moments of grief seem to blind me from recognizing that God is there, that God is present. Grief, and we all know it, we've all experienced it, grief can be such a blinding force. It can cloud our vision and compromise our sense of awareness. For Mary Magdalene, the grief was unbearable. She had already been stunned after discovering that the stone that sealed the tomb had been moved. And she, at first, thought Jesus' body had been stolen. This would have amounted to insult on top of injury. Her devastation now deepened that much more. Not only was she having to deal with a very, very close friend, not only was she having to deal with the torture and death of Jesus, she was now left with no sense that Jesus' body lay in peace. The scripture says that Mary just stood there, weeping, uncontrollable weeping. She was paralyzed by grief. And even the angels who were sitting where Jesus' body had been lying asked, "Woman, why are you weeping?" It was then she turned around and saw a man whom she believed was the gardener. And he asked her the same question. "Woman, why are you weeping?" Grief is devastating. It disorients us. Its pain courses through our bodies and our hearts. It's a blow of enormous proportion. It wasn't until Jesus called Mary by her name that she recognized the voice. It was then she knew it was Jesus. His voice. In some respects, the message of Easter, the good news of Easter, is that Jesus knows your name. He knows your name. He knows who you are. Think about it. Jesus knows you even when you don't know yourself. Even when you and I are lost. Even when you and I are struggling. Even when you and I are hurting, Jesus knows your name. And Jesus will call you. That voice will never go away. God will never let you go, not even in your grief. Not even when you can't see or feel God in your life. We are a people who believe in the Easter voice. The voice that is alive and unstoppable. Now there's a second reason I don't think Mary recognized Jesus. And I want to say this very carefully. Resurrection is not the same thing as resuscitation. Resurrection is not resuscitation. Resuscitation means that you bring a person who was dead back in the same exact way they were before they died. Resurrection is different. Resurrection is a newness that we often don't recognize. It's new life. But it's not the old life. Loss is real, death is real, and the resurrection is God's answer to death and loss. Now, you and I experience all kinds of losses in our lives. We experience the loss of a friend or a loved one. We experience the loss of a job or the loss of an opportunity. We often experience death in many different ways. And it causes pain and distress and grief. And so, like Mary, we grieve, and we're supposed to grieve. But the good news of Easter is that resurrection is promised. It won't be exactly like it was yesterday. But new life will arrive, and along with it, God's presence. If anyone can teach us the true meaning of Easter, it is a woman named Mary. It was Mary, a woman in touch with her grief, a deeply faithful disciple of Jesus, and whose example we now trust as testimony to the risen Lord. And my brothers, sisters, and siblings, that's very good news. Happy Easter.
As we move into a time of prayer this morning, I do have a few joys and concerns that have been written in our book and shared with us throughout the course of the week. Last week after worship, I wanted to mention this joy. We celebrated the baptism of Julia Claire Barker, who is the daughter of Danny and Joe Barker, granddaughter of Terry and Frank Slover, great-granddaughter of Jim and Judy Letterock. So we continue to celebrate with their family. Also, a thank you from Grace Ely. She sent us word this week for all the prayers and cards following her recent fall. They were a comfort and very much appreciated during a difficult time. So we continue to surround Grace with our prayers of healing, but we give thanks for a supportive and uplifting community. Two concerns to lift up. Audrey Smith, who is the mother of Susan Fitzpatrick, is having some difficulty walking and talking, and so we keep Audrey and also Susan's father, Jack, in our prayers. And we also keep Anna Mae Bishop in our prayers. Anna Mae is the aunt of Sally Atkiss, who is failing in her health. We each come to this time of prayer with our own joys and concerns on our hearts and minds, as well as the ones that have been lifted up out loud this morning. I want to invite you to bring your own prayers to mind now as we lift them up to God in prayer. Great living God, the light of your abundant hope has made it through the darkness of Lent, and it still burns bright. Just when everything became its darkest, just when we thought all was lost, just when it seemed that the sun would never shine again, your love broke through with glorious resurrection light. We praise you for that light of new life, the one that shone on those first disciples, those first witnesses of the resurrection, and we continue to praise you for the light of new life that continues to shine in our hearts today. God, we know that your redeeming Easter light has overcome the darkness, and yet there are still those, so many, who are very much in need of the light of prayer. We ask that you open our eyes and our hearts to all those who are suffering, the brokenhearted, the sick, the grieving, those struggling with physical or mental illness, those distanced from loved ones, those who feel alone, those who are overcome with worry about getting through today, let alone tomorrow. Wrap your arms of comfort around them, O God, and grant them a peace so real that their hearts feel physically lighter. In a spirit of joy, we pray this day for Julia and for Danny and Joe and Terry and Frank and Jim and Judy and their entire family as they celebrate Julia's baptism. We give you thanks for a supportive and loving church community, and we think of Grace Ely, who is struggling after a fall but very much appreciative of the love of this community. And God, our prayers are concern are with Audrey, and with Jack, and with Susan and her whole family. We ask that you continue to surround Anna and all those who are in need of your healing and comfort and patience. We take a moment now to lift up the joys and concerns on our own hearts in silent prayer. Lord, hear our prayers. May our lives, not just on this Easter Sunday, but every day, be living witness to your resurrection. We pray that that Easter light of life and hope and joy will be alive in each of us, and that we will be bearers of that light to the lives of others, to the whole world. It is in the name of Christ, resurrected and alive and among us, that we pray the words that he himself taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We have now an opportunity to bring forward our offering, the gifts that you have offered with your hands and your hearts. A reminder that if you missed the offering plate on the way in, you are more than welcome to come forward after the service and place it in the plate up front. But I do want us now to stand as we join in singing our doxology and as our offering is brought forward and we lift it up and dedicate it to God.
O gracious God, we offer our gifts to you, the author of life. We offer these gifts because we believe in resurrection. We believe in new life. We believe that you are Lord of the universe. So take them and use them and spread them widely to a world that is in need, a world that is yours. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please be seated.
I want to welcome you to this table this morning. This is the table of Jesus Christ. This is the table of resurrection. We are celebrating that Christ's presence is here, that he's alive, that he loves us. And so this is a joyous feast, a way to remember God's unstoppable love. Nothing in all creation could stop that love, not even death. As we remember on the night of Jesus' betrayal and desertion, we remember that he took the bread, gave God thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
We remember also that in the same way, after breaking bread and sharing it, Jesus took the cup. And after giving thanks and before sharing it with those he loved, he said to them, "This is my blood, poured out for you. Whenever you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Jesus did pause to say grace before sharing these gifts, so I invite you to join me as we do just that. Let us pray. God, on this joyful Easter morning, we do not forget that it is because of your body broken and life poured out that we are able to come to this table of grace and experience the hope that meets us here. We ask, O God, that you bless these gifts, that as we eat and as we drink, they might nourish us, body and soul, to share and to live the good news of your Son's resurrection. It is in his name that we pray all of these things. Amen. Before we share our gifts this morning, I have just a few notes, a few housekeeping notes to make. They are listed in the bulletin, but I want to pay special attention to a few details. The first of which, when the bread comes around, you may notice it's a little different than normal bread. It is pumpkin bread that has been baked by our church, our families in our church, and cut up to share with everyone. If pumpkin bread is problematic for you in any way, I'm going to encourage you to take either gluten-free bread or an individually packaged communion elements. I also want to remind you that when the plates come around with the cup, the outer circle of the communion plates contains wine. All of the inner circles contain grape juice. As I said, both gluten-free bread and also individually packaged communion elements are available if that suits you better. Grace Bruin, she's over here now. She will be walking around the sanctuary. If you are in need or desire either of those things, please raise your hand. She will find you and make sure you get what you need. The most important thing for us to remember is that this is the table, the feast of which Christ is the host. All are welcome. If you hunger and thirst for what Christ has to offer, you are welcome at this table. Remembering this, I invite you to come, for all things are now ready.
The body of Christ, the bread of life, take and eat.
Friends, this is for us the blood of Christ, a life poured out that we might know life in all its fullness. Remembering this, we take and drink.
O gracious God, we thank you for this nourishment, the fact that you give of yourself to us. And for that, we are eternally grateful that you offer us new life, newness of life in all its fullness. And for this meal, we give you thanks. Heaven and earth rejoices. Amen. As you leave on this Easter morning, Be reminded that Jesus knows your name, loves you just as you are. You are enough. So may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God give you peace today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.